Right. Good morning, everyone. I'd like to officially call to order the Marin County Transit District Board of Directors meeting. Today is, I have to double check, September 8th. Good to see everyone. We'll go ahead and start with a roll call.
I will now call roll. President Lucan?
Here.
Vice President Sackett?
Here.
Second Vice President Casissa?
Here.
Director Colbert?
Here.
Director Moulton Peters? Director Radoni?
Here.
Director Bushy? Director Yorans Gulati?
Here.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
All right. Great to see everyone. We got the full team here today. Kate, before we move on to open time for public expression, you want to give some brief instructions for those joining remotely?
Yes. At today's meeting, in-person comments will be heard before virtual comments. If you're joining us on Zoom and you would like to comment, please use the raise hand icon located on your screen. If you're participating by phone call, please press *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, your name will be called and you'll be prompted to unmute your device. You'll then have 2 minutes to speak. This concludes my instructions. I would also like to note that we received written comments on agenda items 2 from a member of the public via email. The comments have been shared with the board and will be included in the public record of this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to open time for public expression. If there's any here in the chamber that would like to speak, you can come up to the front. We do have a 2 minute time limit. Please come on up. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Bart, and members of the audience. My name is Miki Hidaka, and I'm a resident of Marin, and I recently attended the Marin Golden Gate Open House in San Rafael. And I wanted to express my appreciation for all the work that Marin Transit and Golden Gate and SMART have done to on the mascot program. I'm a frequent user of all those vehicles, transportation modalities. And in particular, I appreciate the greater frequency of buses that will allow me to travel from Marin to San Francisco. I also appreciate the efforts to convert all the buses and trains to zero emission fuel by 2040 to comply with the CARB requirements. In particular, I understand that there is going to be a challenge to satisfy the needs of the West Marin buses, in particular Stagecoach. I'm also a frequent cyclist and a hiker. And when I'm out on the trails, I often encounter people who are not aware of the option to return by bus. So I do hope that we'll be able to find a good solution to accommodate that and the zero emissions regulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Any other public comment? We'll look online.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Thank you. Any board of directors matters this morning? I'm not seeing anyone. Jump right into our general manager's report.
Good morning, President Lucan and directors. I have a fairly brief report this morning, kicking off with some good news about a youth apprenticeship program that's starting. Canal Alliance, next slide, Kate, sorry. Canal Alliance, in partnership with College of Marin, will work with Marin Transit and Workforce Alliance of the North Bay to develop an apprenticeship program for students interested in becoming technicians and drivers for our new transit vehicles, the new technologies that we're implementing. And Canal Alliance will lead the training, recruiting, and job placement and job support for the new apprenticeship program. And we'll be partnering with, we did partner actually with Canal Alliance on their application to the California Opportunity Youth Apprenticeship, which is COYA. It's called COYA program. And it resulted in a $318,000 grant for the program. We also found this to be a really great opportunity for us to use a portion of our workforce development component of our FTA grant. So we'll be supporting it through that as well. So next slide. So our staff has been working hard this summer to gear up for school service. We made changes to our supplemental routes serving Redwood High School and Lagunitas Middle School to address some of the ridership needs there. 2 years ago, we eliminated some of the supplemental routes, you may remember, and we changed our fixed route service to better serve those schools that were previously served by the supplemental school routes. And this year, we've adjusted those fixed routes to better excuse me, to better meet the bell times. We also, as you know, manage the yellow bus service in Ross Valley, and that serves the White Hill Middle School and Hidden Valley Elementary School. We've sold more passes this year than we did last year. We've sold 4 out of the 6 afternoon routes and 2 of the 7 morning routes. And this is the first time that morning routes have sold out. And during the past sales process, our staff was quickly able to restructure some of the morning routes on Butterfield to better provide additional seats. So about 20 additional seats were provided. So I'd like to just give a big thank you to our operations staff, Robert and Kyle and Sandra and Abby, for getting our school service off to a really good start this year. So next slide, Kate. So September is Transit Month, and there are more than 60 events planned across the Bay Area, and Marin Transit is participating in several of those with the other transit agencies across the region. Highlighted a few of them here. September 23rd is the All Aboard Bay Area Transit Day, and our staff will be out giving stickers to riders. That's something that a lot of the transit agencies will be doing, showing that they've ridden transit that day. And that same day, the staff from the North Bay Transit agencies are participating in a transit relay, where staff from each agency will ride a leg of the transit service connecting with another service in the North Bay to complete a ride across the North Bay. So I think that's the first time we've done that, so it should be pretty fun. And then on the 26th of September, the general managers and CEOs will have a ride along, and this is about the fourth time that the GMs and CEOs have done this. This is the first time, though, that we've done it in Marin County, so we're excited to be hosting that. The ride will start for some of the general managers in Oakland, where they'll take BART to San Francisco, to the Golden Gate Ferry, and then their ferry over to Larkspur, and then Larkspur, they'll catch the SMART train up to Civic Center, and then at Civic Center, we'll transfer to a Marin Transit Route 49, come back to San Rafael, and there's an unhosted happy hour there. It's a great time for us to kind of connect with our riders and one-on-one with our other transit agencies in that way. So we're looking forward to that, and anybody is invited to join along the route there. It's going to start in the late afternoon, I think at 3 o'clock, around 3 o'clock in the East Bay, and then it'll end up over here in San Rafael. Next slide. Okay, turning then to our ridership report. Due to some data collection issues, you may notice that there were 3 monthly monitoring reports in your packet this month. And they cover the months of April, May, and June. And our chart here takes us all the way through June. And the gray line is the prior year. The red line is our current year for fixed route ridership here. And for each of the 3 months that are reported in your packet, we exceeded the ridership compared to that month for the prior year. You can see that. And then next slide. On the demand response side, we continue to see some gains in Marin Access ridership compared to the prior year, but although May and June were not quite as strong as some of the prior months, as you can see, the lines are starting to converge there in June. So that concludes my report. I'm happy to take any questions you might have.
Thank you, Nancy. Any questions? All right. Thanks for the thorough general manager's report. We'll see if there's any public comment. Not seeing any here. Any online?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. And actually, while we're at it, any public comment on the consent calendar? Not seeing any in either place as well. I'll look to my colleagues here. Any questions, comments? A motion?
I'll move the consent calendar.
Second.
A motion by Sackett, second by Moulton Peters. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Consent passes. Next up, item number 6, Marin County Transit District Zero Emissions Bus Rollout Plan Update.
Yes, and Anna Penoyer, our manager of capital programs, will be here to present an update, as it's called, to our ZEB rollout plan. And you've seen this information before, but this is our update to meet the CARB requirements.
Good morning, Board of Directors, President Lucan. I'm Anna Penoyer, Capital Projects Manager at Marin Transit. And as Nancy said, this presentation is to go over updates to Marin Transit zero emission bus rollout plan that's included in your packet. Today, we're asking you to adopt resolution 2025-07, which approves the updated plan and authorizes the general manager to submit the plan to the California Air Resources Board, also known as CARB. Next slide. So we're going to go through the plan changes since the last plan was brought to you in 2023, and then talk briefly through all of the components of the plan, going through the innovative clean transit regulation in general, talking about our current fleet, then going through the plan for the vehicles, infrastructure, then cost and decision points that we've identified for moving forward. Next slide. So CARB adopted the Innovative Clean Transit Regulation, also known as the ICT, in 2018, and it went into effect in 2019. The rule applies to medium and heavy duty vehicles, which for Marin Transit is our fixed route fleet only. It requires agencies to have purchase requirements for vehicle replacements. So for Marin Transit, starting next year in 2026, 25% of our new bus purchases will be zero emission buses, and followed shortly thereafter in 2029, 100% of our vehicle replacements must be zero emission buses, or ZEBs for short. Marin Transit first developed our transition plan in 2019, revised it in 2020. We brought it back to your board in 2023, and now we're bringing it back in 2025. So this is meant to be a living plan that we update periodically. Next slide. So while the plan remains much the same as when it was last brought here, the major updates include an update to the vehicle replacements to match the current board adopted vehicle replacement plan, and incorporates the proposed new fixed route maintenance and operations facility at 1075 Francisco Boulevard East. In addition to this, we've updated cost estimates to more accurately reflect current cost information, as well as information from our fiscal year 2023-24 fuel analysis. Next slide. So this is a bit of background information. These are all of the vehicles that are currently in our fleet that are subject to the ICT. We have 38 hybrid standard size buses, the majority of our fleet right now, 6 battery electric heavy duty buses, 11 narrow bodied heavy duty buses that are used in rural service, and 13 shuttle cutaways. Next slide. Marin Transit plans replacements for vehicles based on vehicle life cycle as determined by FTA. Our heavy duty vehicles have a 12-year life cycle. The cutaway vehicles like our shuttles have a life cycle of 7 years, and our light duty vehicles, which is our demand response and paratransit fleet, have a life cycle of only 5 years. Next slide. Marin Transit has decided to invest in depot charging and battery electric buses at this time. This is due to the comparatively lower operational costs when compared to power requirements for opportunity or in-route charging, and as opposed to hydrogen fuel cell technology and fueling. Marin Transit had to make further assumptions in order to develop the transition plan. Our first assumption is that a bus that is similar to our narrow body rural vehicle is not going to become available, and we're going to have to still find a suitable replacement for that. The second assumption is that the range of depot charging buses will increase to 300 miles by the year 2027 to accommodate the length of our longer routes. Finally, we're assuming in this plan that we won't be constructing in-route vehicle charging or hydrogen fueling stations. Along with all of these assumptions, there are decision points later on where we might have to change those assumptions, which we'll talk about at the end of the presentation. Next slide. This slide just shows the methodology for creation of the plan. The first thing is that all vehicles will meet their useful life and no vehicles will be retired early. And that's in an that's a requirement by CARB and the ICT. The replacement plan was then developed using life cycles and prioritizing electrification of first the standard size bus vehicles where there's many replacement options on the market. Secondly, we're prioritizing replacement of the cutaway fleet. There are some FTA approved battery electric cutaway options available at this time, but the price is almost three times what a traditional cutaway costs. The XHFs or a rural fleet will be replaced last. These vehicles travel on the most challenging terrain, are currently high floored and narrow bodied to meet their requirements for traveling through West Marin. So we're giving ourselves some time for a suitable EV replacement of that vehicle to emerge. Next slide. This chart is also in your packet. I'm not going to go through it right now, but it's all of the planned purchases for the next 15 years that the rollout plan covers. And you can see on there when the 25% purchasing requirement hits, and then in 2029 when 100% of our replacements will be zero emission. Next slide. This graphic is my favorite graphic personally. It shows how our fleet composition is going to change over time as we progress along the rollout plan. Our electric fleet will go from about 7% this year to 100% by the year 2040. Next slide. Along with our fleet rollout, Marin Transit is planning for infrastructure where we're going to charge all of our battery electric buses. At Rush Landing, we're planning to park and charge 24 fixed route vehicles. There are limitations to that site due to the narrowness of the property, and there's a major water pipeline running along one side of the site where infrastructure cannot be installed, which limits us a little bit at that property. At 3010 3020 Kerner Boulevard, which was purchased in 2022, we are currently in construction for a parking lot there where we plan to depot charge the demand response vehicles. This project will be complete early in 2026, and initially we'll just be charging two vehicles, but with infrastructure laid to be able to charge vehicles throughout the parking facility. And then at 1075 East Francisco, which is our proposed fixed route maintenance and operations facility, we're planning to charge 45 fixed route vehicles for this plan. Next slide. Along with infrastructure planning, Marin Transit needs to coordinate with utilities to ensure that the grid has the capacity to charge our vehicles and that sufficient power can be brought to all of our charging locations. Marin Transit has already taken advantage of PG&E's electric vehicle fleet program for 600 Rush Landing and is currently using this program as well for 3010 3020 Kerner Boulevard. As part of this project, PG&E brings extra power capacity to the site and Marin Transit installs bus chargers. PG&E has another fleet advisor program, which is coming online, which has the same advantages as the electric vehicle fleet program of ensuring proper design standards for the infrastructure that's used for the charging. And it also ensures adequate grid capacity. Marin Transit has also been in contact with MCE. They have less available support on the infrastructure side, but we are having and continue to have and will continue to have discussions with them to discuss electric rate structures and how to get the greenest energy in our fleet. Next slide. Our transition cost has increased since our last plan, I think by about $30 million. to 112 million. This figure represents costs for both the vehicles and infrastructure costs together. We are seeing cost increases right now for both vehicles and infrastructure greater than we had mm-hmm. expected the last time this plan came to your board, partially due to some uncertainty around tariffs. This is something we're going to continue to monitor. The plan also includes a list of potential funding sources that Marin Transit will be applying for money in the future. And fuel costs is another factor we'll talk about in the next slide. Next slide. So this slide shows a graph that has average cost of fuel per mile for the vehicle operated for each of our vehicle types. The two green bars on the slide represent our existing battery electric vehicles. The green bar on the left is the battery electric buses, which are charged at Golden Gate Transit's yard. These buses are not separately metered and are therefore subject to the electric rate structure of Golden Gate Transit's greater facility. Whereas the electric buses at Rush Landing, which are the green bar on almost all the way on the right side, those are separately metered and are eligible for an EV rate structure. The cost to charge these vehicles is significantly less than the other BEVs. Next slide. So this slide shows the average amount of miles that each vehicle by type is traveling in a year. Here you can see, again, the battery electric buses or BEVs are in green and our other vehicles are in blue. So you can see that our BEVs are traveling far less miles than our other fixed route vehicles. This is due to the limited range and flexibility of this vehicle type, and is something we're going to be monitoring moving forward to make sure that we can do a one-for-one replacement of vehicles. Next slide. So the final section of this presentation is on decision points moving forward. In 2026, we will update the infrastructure plan again once we have the design for the proposed facility at 1075 Anderson. In 2027, we will evaluate whether battery range has improved enough to deliver our existing service profile. There's a replacement upcoming in fiscal year 2029, and this will give us some time to evaluate either purchasing additional vehicles, whether we have to cut or redesign service, and or whether we can negotiate with jurisdictions to install some opportunity charging throughout the county. In 2028 is the first replacement of our rural fleet, the first replacement of the narrow-bodied vehicles rural fleet is in 2031. And so in 2028, we'll decide whether there is a zero-emission bus capable of this rural service. And again, we'll consider purchasing additional vehicles, possibilities to install opportunity charging, or whether we need to cut some service. And next slide. And then in 2029, we plan to update the infrastructure plan again based on the current fleet status and the state of ZEB technology. And not to sound like a broken record, but we will again consider purchasing additional vehicles, whether it's possible to install opportunity charging or if we need to cut service at that point. Next slide. That concludes my presentation. I'm more than happy to answer any additional questions you may have.
Thank you, Anna. Appreciate the presentation. Also, like your favorite chart as well, that shows by 2040 we'll be 100% electric and clean, which is wonderful. We'll start with questions from the board. We'll start with Supervisor Moulton-Peters.
Oh, did you know I was going to ask a question?
I see your light on.
Okay, I guess I am going to ask a question. No, I was busily online last Friday. I went down to Santa Clara with the Metropolitan Transportation Commission, and we saw the electrified Stanford Marguerite shuttle buses and learned that they pulled in their Stanford Linear Accelerator people to optimize their electric charging system. And so I have just sent you a link to an AI summary of the things they've done, but it includes, integration with the electric grid and a backup source of power, which we know is fundamental to electric vehicles. But anyway, it sounded like they had some interesting bells and whistles going on. And I just wondered if anything you may know about their system or would be interested in joining me for a tour that I plan to set up.
That sounds great. I know a little bit, but yeah.
Yeah, well, you probably know more than me. But it just, as we're planning this thing, I'm sure you're looking at other systems that people are installing. And I think my takeaway from Santa Clara is we ought to take all their good ideas that county is doing and import them directly to Marin County, because they really are pretty cutting edge on things they're doing down there. Anyway. Thank you for taking that comment question.
Mm-hmm. Great. Director Colbert? Oh, Director Sackett.
Thank you, Anna. Really appreciated this report and all the detail in it. It's not as easy or straightforward as it looks. So I just wanted to ask about the BEB. You said that those buses are not being used as much as I guess was hoped and envisioned. And you mentioned range and then flexibility. Is the flexibility about in route charging or locations?
The flexibility is in and range are kind of go hand in hand. So we can't necessarily just put a battery electric bus in on any of our routes. We keep them, Robert can probably speak more to this also. But we keep them on some of our more flat routes and we keep them to do a limited range so that they don't run out of battery mid-service. So, yeah.
Chair Lucan, I have a comment. Do you want that now? Okay. So I would love to dig in with you all more on the MCE issue. And how, as an MCE board member, I can help further that conversation or be part of it, and really thinking also about other transit agencies in the MCE territory that I imagine are looking at similar issues and constraints, and how could we sort of bring that collective group together and increase everybody's education and awareness so that we can be, good advocates for the EV charging rate structure.
Absolutely.
To that board. So I offer that as well. Thanks.
Thank you.
Director Joran Scolati.
Yes, thank you. Thank you so much for the report. And I actually have similar thoughts around MCE as well. I'm a board member as well. But I was thinking about the backup with diesel. And you mentioned that our energy providers right now, they are not looking into hydrogen. But I was curious to see if they have any future plans for green hydrogen as a backup instead of diesel.
For backup for what? Sorry. Yeah, got it. To backup energy, yeah. Mm. Do you want to? I think it's something we'll look forward to, or we're not look forward to, look into for the future. We're going to enter design soon for that facility. So I'm sure we'll explore all possible options for that.
Yeah, I think right now we aren't aware of anything that we can do like that. I think hydrogen, from my understanding, Anna can chime in here too, hydrogen right now, the bus manufacturers are the ones who are taking a step back on that. And so I think that that's putting all the rest of the hydrogen, you know, whether it's backup or how we use it, is kind of being put on hold, if you will. Is that?
That, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So I think that's kind of where we are.
Okay. Director Rodoni?
Yeah. Thanks, Anna. I was wondering if you know if the infrastructure improvements on the Golden Gate parking lot ultimately will benefit our charging rate there.
That is a great question that we can ask them. I don't know though. I think it's just for passenger vehicles that they're doing their parking lot for, so it may not benefit us. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? I'll just offer one with regards to the fuel analysis and the rate structure that we get at Rush Landing. Is it safe to assume we should expect a similar rate structure at our new facility in Santa Fe once that is up and operational?
Yes, we are planning to separately meter the bus charging site so that we can participate in a similar EV fleet rate structure.
Wonderful. And then one, just I'll plant a seed again, and great to have our colleagues from MCE here. It was always kind of surprising to me that even with an EV rate structure, public agencies like ours have no different rate structure than, say, a Tesla supercharger station. There is no separate charging structure for public agencies that are providing public transit. That's a big statewide issue, but, you know, wonder if there's a way through advocacy with CARB, as we're all trying to electrify our fleet, if it would make sense to have a different rate structure specific to public agencies providing electric buses, especially with the mandates. That's a much longer play, but just wanted to plant that seed if there's a way as an agency we could partner with others and maybe start making that case. Because certainly if we can, this is just a comment, if we had a lower charging structure for that, even lower than we'll have at the new facility, it would allow us to provide better service in the long run. So with that, we'll see, is there any public comment on this one? Oh, please. Welcome.
Hi, Krista Robinson with Jacobs Engineering. So these are things that we look at all the time, and power optimization, you can kind of select with the technology, the bus technology, what time of day you're charging the buses, so you can really optimize for the lowest cost time of day. And there's analysis that can be done to make sure that the buses are going to be fully charged for the routes. And even analysis on each of the bus routes in existence, serving them with electric bus fleets. So, you know, you can look at what's the weather going to be, what's the incline of the slope, what's the distance, and figure out if you're going to be able to service those routes with the battery size you have on a bus. And so all of that analysis can be done, and I don't think it's really going to trip you up, but it can be optimized for cost savings. Definitely. And in terms of like swapping some of those smaller fleet vehicles, cutaways and smaller even, like there's a lot of analysis that's being done for VTA and other transit agencies. They're also coming up against those challenges, swapping out electric vehicles for those. And so there's a lot of solutions out there. Like some of the board members mentioned, learning from those agencies, I think in that regard is something that can really benefit you guys. And in terms of backup energy, my personal recommendation as someone who has been in the sustainability industry for over 20 years is to avoid diesel, because not only is it using a non-renewable energy source, but you have to test those generators regularly. So you are burning emissions, even if you never have to use those for backup. So there's other battery storage solutions or temporary off-site solutions that you can use if you don't have the space on site, and you can bring it on in case of emergency. So anyway, just letting you know, there's a lot of solutions out there to your questions. And I am so excited that you guys are digging deep on this one and asking all the hard questions.
Thank you. Any additional public comment here in the board chambers? We'll go online.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. Susan W., please unmute.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
I wanted to, I guess it's a comment and also a question regarding the electric buses. We've had in the past outages, PG&E planned outages because of the wildfires and such. And I remember for 3 days, we had power outages. And the cell towers were also impacted. So I guess my question or comment is that that would need to be looked at in terms of backup generators, or if you're using electric buses, that is something to look into. Will there be how will they be able to be recharged under such circumstances, which could occur again? So that is my that is what I wanted to add.
There are no additional raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Kate. Anna, any kind of closing comments as we wrap this up? This is just an update, no action to take today.
No additional comment.
Okay.
There is an action.
There is an action.
There is an action.
Sorry.
Thank you. So with that, I will look for a motion on this.
I'll move the item.
Second.
We have a motion by Director Colbert, a second by Director Sackett. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes. Thank you. Thank you for catching that. We'll, great presentation, Anna. We'll move on to item number 7, which is the mascots update and setting of the public hearing.
All right. Kathleen Sullivan, our Director of Planning, is going to do a presentation here on mascots and the update and our public hearing.
Great. Good morning. Directors, nice to see you all. This is going to be relatively brief, but it is an action item to change the dates of our public hearing to better respond to the public input we've gotten. But you have heard a lot about mascots, and I don't have any major updates today. I just wanted to kind of reground you in where we are in the process. Next slide. So as you recall, this has been a collaborative multi-agency process to reconsider service in the 101 corridor, to grow ridership, work as if we are one agency, and develop a plan, not a study that would sit on a shelf, but something we could really implement in the short term. Next slide. So the mascots timeline is the one on the left in blue. I've shown this to you a couple times, although this one is slightly updated as we continue to kind of adapt in this process. We're at the bottom of the blue squares at this point. So we just completed public outreach. In July, I presented to your board on what our public outreach plans were and what the recommendation of the mascots project was. So we went out and did a lot of outreach, which I'll give you a quick update on today. We're now basically digesting that input from people and developing a service proposal, as is Golden Gate. And then all the agencies are looking to implement around April of 2026. So we still have a little bit of time, but we're still, before that will go into effect, but we are still targeting early 2026. I inserted the Marin Transit timeline on the right, just because we are on a sort of separate but parallel timeline. The mascots recommendations were really focused on regional service, so SMART, Golden Gate Ferry, Golden Gate Bus. So we have been in parallel kind of figuring out how Marin Transit responds to these regional changes. So we also did some general public outreach in July and August. We did put a very draft proposal out just to get some initial public feedback. It wasn't a formal service proposal, just sort of a draft to start to get feedback on. And it was actually very useful to have something specific out there to start to get people's thoughts. We are, again, developing our service change proposal now. And we are going to bring your board at your next meeting in October our formal service change proposal, sort of per a normal service change process, major service change process. So we'll bring the proposal to you, do outreach throughout the month of October, and then look to your board to consider the final package incorporating any public input at the November board meeting. And again, we would all implement in parallel in that early August 2026 timeframe. Next slide. So this is just a summary of all the outreach we did. We did have an online survey. It got over 700 responses. So we had really robust input that we got through that survey. We did a lot of distribution to agency and partner organizations, social media. We had a project website that we kept updated. We put out posters and flyers at all the bus stops in Southern Marin and at the San Rafael Transit Center. Golden Gate did posters inside their buses, especially the ones that were most impacted by the changes. We got a lot of media coverage. Some we proactively put ads out, and then just a lot of coverage of all of the various boards that covered this. So that was great, sort of earned media. We did a few pop-up events in San Rafael and Marin City, which are sort of the two major hubs that are most impacted by the proposal in Southern Marin. We did 6 community meetings between Marin and Sonoma counties. Each one was fairly well attended, and we got a lot of really good feedback from people, and that gave us an opportunity to really have conversations face-to-face and get a little more nuance of how people are responding to these changes. Golden Gate did hold, kind of right at the conclusion of the process, Golden Gate did hold their public hearing at the end of August. Next slide. So generally what we've heard, this is at a very high level, is generally the public has been supportive. On all the questions in the survey, the majority were supportive of the changes. And we did get just a lot of general positive feedback of working together as all these agencies to try and come up with a service plan that's really collaborative. The main concerns we've heard were late night service in Sonoma County, which we anticipated and we discussed with your board last time. So that's something we're looking at this month of what the options for that are. I do want to emphasize there are very few riders who actually take those buses. That does not mean those people won't be negatively impacted, but we're talking about a few riders per bus, which is a tough ridership market to serve with public transit in terms of maintaining productivity. But we are looking at options for those late night riders. And that's particularly in Sonoma County. Marin will continue to have a pretty robust late night service with the 101. People are also concerned about connections between services. We have already started and are going to continue to have some really robust schedule coordination meetings to make sure that the connection point, we're increasing frequency. And so that helps connections a lot, that they don't have to be perfectly timed, but we're also making sure to coordinate especially between Golden Gate and Smart, and Marin Transit and Smart and Golden Gate, to make sure those connections are really strong, because some riders are going to rely on a connection instead of what used to be a one-seat ride on the 101 coming from Sonoma County. In Marin County, the main concern we heard was around removal of service from the Southern Marin bus pads and direct all-day services from Mill Valley, Corte Madera, Larkspur, some of the other Southern Marin communities. So that's the main thing that Marin Transit is focused on this month, and our service proposals, we don't anticipate making any changes north of San Rafael. So all our service proposals are around Southern Marin. And I just wanted to emphasize that there's a lot of different ways there's a lot of routes in Southern Marin. There's a lot of different ways that we could change those routes. Each one has trade-offs, sort of serves some people better and some people less well. We are looking at all that input we got and sort of what were the highest priority trip pairs. That was one of the questions in the survey of what's if you could only have direct service between two points, what are those two points? So we're looking at questions like that to really inform our service proposal and continuing to work with Golden Gate to figure out how we together can come up with the best proposal for Southern Marin that takes all that input into consideration. Next slide. So in terms of next steps, actually between the publication of this packet, and I did not change the PowerPoint you're seeing today and today, Golden Gate has actually bumped their final adoption to October, which is great. It gives us a little bit more time to adapt to what the public said and come up with a proposal that both of us can have input on. So that on the left-hand side, that Golden Gate board considers adoption of final recommendations will actually be around the same time frame, but in October, so late October. SMART is taking this item to their board again on the 15th of October, as far as I know. Again, as I mentioned at the beginning, we will bring a proposal to you on October 6th for consideration. That will include a Title VI analysis that we always do as part of a major service change proposal. Throughout October, we're already planning what kind of engagement we'll do with riders. And we do want to change. We'd originally planned public hearings for September. And just, again, to give us more time to respond, we'd like to change those two public hearing dates to the 15th and 16th of October. Same general locations, Canal and Marin City. It's a slightly different specific location in Marin City. And then November 3rd, you would consider adoption of that service change. Next slide. So this is an action to change the public hearing dates from September 10th and 23rd, which is what they were originally, to October 15th and 16th. And I'll just say, we didn't do any, in anticipation of this, we didn't do any advertising around the 10th and the 23rd, but we have started ramping up to advertise the 15th and the 16th. And with that, I will conclude and take any questions.
Wonderful. And we do need to take formal action on the moving of the public hearing, correct?
You do. All right.
Any questions on the presentation and the mascots update? Director Jurens Galati.
Yes, thank you. So thank you so much for the presentation. I guess it's a question, comment around community outreach. Mm-hmm. So I know that it happened in the summer. Mm-hmm. I always love it when it doesn't happen in the summer, just because a lot of people are not available. Mm-hmm. So I'm really happy that we are moving the public hearing a little bit farther. I know there are two big events in the canal. One is on October 11th, is moving the park, Picklewheat, and it has a lot of community members attending. And the other one is Nuestro Canal, Nuestro Futuro by Canal Alliance. That's on October 19th. So I guess my question would be, we are going to present the plan to them, but in terms of gathering information from the community to set up that plan, do we have enough information, or would it be worthy to just push it a little bit farther, just to make sure that everybody is involved in the design of the plan, considering that, you know, most of the people in the canal are the ones that they are using public transit?
Yeah. Do you mean pushing the timeline or just going to those events?
Pushing the timeline, timeline, and also attending the events. Because I think what you're saying, like in October, we are going to have the public hearing announcing the plan. Mm-hmm. But I just want to make sure that we have enough information from the bus riders, the residents of the canal, to design the plan.
Yeah. I mean, our plan is to make a big push throughout. Well, first I'll say we had some really good conversations with residents of the canal. We sort of got the high level, you know, survey level input, but we had some really good discussions at the workshop with individual riders who are really dependent on these routes. And it was, for me, it was very helpful to talk one-on-one of like, why do you choose this? Why, you know, how would this change affect you? So we did get some really good feedback at the sort of that one-on-one level. And we do think that so we'll be releasing the plan at the end of September, basically to get into your October board packet. My understanding was that Nuestro Canal, Nuestro Futuro event was on the 4th, and we are talking to Canal Alliance about participating in that, and we would have the plans available, so people would be able to start digesting them as early as that, you know, the very beginning of October, even before we've presented to your board, because we don't want to miss that opportunity. There might be another one on the 19th.
That's the date I have, but maybe I'm wrong.
So yeah, I'm wrong.
Yeah, so we can note it. Yeah.
But anyway, we do think that we've also considered a focus group during the month of October. So we're talking about that and doing recruitment for that. Again, the one-on-one conversations give us a different level of information than kind of the high level chatting with people at an event or doing a survey. So we do think it'll be sufficient to really do robust outreach during the whole month to get a good input on that proposal.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love the one-on-one, so that's great. And I love the idea of the focus group with, residents that they use it frequently. So, okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. And we can double check on the Nuestro Canal, Nuestro Futuro. I better check that.
So. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Any others? Director Moulton-Peters?
Yeah, thank you. I'm very glad that we have extended the time to discuss all this. I read in the packet over the weekend that we were doing our hearing at the Marin City CDC Empowerment Clubhouse, which is not a location that a lot of people know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just wondering if you could take a look at ridership along the 101 corridor in the Southern Marin area. And I want to understand, where is the optimal place to have this based on ridership? I know that Marin City is a special community and uses transit, but I don't find that others. I just don't know if that covers everybody. Mm. I guess is what I want to say. And so perhaps, as Director Lawrence Galati was saying, a focus group there, or focus group in Mill Valley where you have ridership that's high. anyway, just some consideration for where we'll maximize public input for that hearing.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you.
Great, thank you. Any others? Not seeing any. Why don't we go to public comment? Please come on up. Welcome, council member.
Hi, everybody. I'm Urban Carmel. I represent the city of Mill Valley. I'm happy to be here today. I want to start by saying thank you so much for taking this on. Mascots is, in my 15 years of city government, one of the best ideas I've ever seen. So the idea of rationalizing your services, growing ridership, coordinating your service delivery is just an awesome idea. So thank you very much for taking that on. It's really well done. We wrote a letter on October 21st to Marin Transit and the Golden Gate Transit Board. I hope that you've had a chance to read it. There's a couple of things that I wanted to mention in it. First of all, Mill Valley is the third largest city in Marin County. We're 15,000 people. It's bigger than Marin City and Sausalito combined. And if you look at the Mill Valley School District, which is really our service area, it's 30,000 people. So that's really the city of Mill Valley. It's an important part of the transit network. Here's the challenge that we've got in Mill Valley. If you're in Corte Madera or north, you've got the SMART train and you've got access to Larkspur Ferry. If you're in Tiburon or Belvedere, you've got, again, a ferry service and a bus service that gets you into the city. If you're in Sausalito, again, you've got ferry service into the city. And with the new plan, you've got excellent bus service into the city. Mill Valley is left out of all of that. We don't have ferry service. Our only direct ferry service is out of Sausalito. So, and we don't really have access to the SMART service from where we are. So we're in a really difficult situation in terms of transit. Happily, I think there's a good solution here in the Mascots plan. Number one, for Marin Transit, keep the number 17 bus service the way it is today. It runs between San Rafael, Mill Valley, and Sausalito. It provides one seat service to a ferry in Sausalito. That's awesome. Also, just outside of the commuter group, our students that attend TAM High School come from Sausalito. They need a bus service that gets them into the city. Our diversity, equity, inclusion programs in the city of Mill Valley include Marin City and Sausalito. We're trying to get people into Mill Valley to take advantage of our community center, our fields, our sports leagues, and so forth. So we really need that Marin Transit Bus 17 to stay the way it is. The plan is to change it into a hub in Marin City. That would change a service that takes 30 minutes already to get to Sausalito into something which is much longer. For comparison, a drive into Sausalito to take the ferry takes 20 minutes. So it's already kind of on the edge of not being competitive. This would turn it way over the edge in terms of not being competitive to get to that ferry service. I realize this is the Marin Transit Board, not the Golden Gate Transit Board, but you probably are familiar with the plan for Mascots for the whole thing. The other improvement that I would recommend is the idea is to get people into the city better than they can today.
From I lost track of time here, if you could wrap up.
Yeah, absolutely. From San Rafael and from points north. The plan now, it bypasses the city of Mill Valley. It goes to Marin City and Sausalito and then into the city. I would recommend that you have a stop in Mill Valley so that citizens from Mill Valley can also have rapid service into the city. You have the 114 bus. It'd be a good idea to add service during the day from the city of Mill Valley with the 114 into the city. Thank you again for your time, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing on this. Thank you.
Please come on up.
Miki Hidaka, I'm a resident of Mill Valley. And to Kathleen's point, I think you'd mentioned, or maybe it was Supervisor Moulton Peters, a site for the Marin City event. I would recommend the library because it is literally steps away from the bus stop, this transit hub. And also to the previous gentleman's point, I have a friend who's a teacher at TAM High School. And he shared with me that some of his students were perpetually late to class and he was going to take disciplinary action until the other kids told him that it was because they had to wait for the bus. So I hope that they have also attended some of your events, but perhaps you can reach out to the schools, to the students who take that bus and incorporate them into the mascot program as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment here? go online.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. Susan W., please unmute.
Hi, thank you very much. I wanted to focus on from San Rafael north along the 101 corridor. And I'm not talking about from San Rafael to Sonoma County. I'm talking about the portion up till around Novato. Let me just start again. The times during the day when service is ended, like the number 71, I would like to suggest that be looked at further. And my sense is that it needs to be, that service needs to be extended a little bit later. And please do not cut that service. I was looking briefly at the mascots. Am I saying that right? Mm-hmm. Service. And it just looked like that portion was going to be cut or something. Kaiser, for example, is located off of Smith Ranch Road exit, Lucas Valley exit. And that's really one of the only ways to get to Kaiser. And there are other, a lot of other people are taking that bus. So anyway, I don't need to go on and on. Please, that needs to be supported and continued. Thank you. That portion of the 101 corridor. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Susan.
All right, we have one additional raised hand. Give me one moment. Anthony Nakor, please unmute.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Perfect. Yes. My name is Anthony, and I've been living in Novato for nearly 20 years. So thank you, Marin Transit and the Board of Supervisors for addressing the mascots issue. I've already sent a rather long but detailed email to mascots. I don't know if you've received part of the email that I mentioned. Yes, we definitely need a more service on the 71, but there's also a comment that I mentioned regarding what will be the trade-off if we're gonna end up cutting the 219 that serves between Strawberry and Tiburon in favor of a more direct service from San Rafael. And at the same time, there's also the 101, which is being cut north of Novato, meaning passengers wanting to go to Santa Rosa, that they'll have to transfer to the SMART train either as early as San Rafael or you have to do it in Novato. So basically, that brings me to the issue of hopefully Marin Transit will reevaluate the options, especially I would say within, Southern Marin. So I really hope that you're going to reconsider how to realign the 17, the 22, and the 36, plus the 219, which will be severely affected by these cuts, because as I understand, mascots really wants to optimize, a transfers along the corridor. So basically, my thought is, okay, if we're going to realign service, you have to realign not just the routes, but also the transfers as well, like at Strawberry and Marin City. Thank you.
There are no additional raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Anthony. That concludes public comment on this one. I'll just look to my colleagues if there's any last comments. Director Uren Scolati.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you for the public comments. I was just thinking what one of the speakers mentioned about the schools. And so I'm not sure how, if you are including them in the outreach, but I was just thinking about the students. I know that there are students that they go from the canal to Terra Linda High School and other ones that they go, you know, to San Rafael High School. So I think those could be like a really good group to also connect with them about the routes that they take. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And thank you so much for all the work.
Great. Any others? Not seeing any. We'll really appreciate the presentation. We do need to take an action just to change the public hearing dates to October 15th and 16th.
I'll move that we make that change of dates.
I'll second.
A motion by Director Moulton Peters, second by Director Colbert. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All good. Thank you, Kathleen. And we'll move right ahead to item number 8, which is a community engagement update.
Yes, we have previously brought you a plan for our community outreach, and we're going to give you an update on that today. In fact, Raimundo Vidaure is going to do that presentation. He's our community outreach coordinator.
There we go. All right. Good morning, President Lucan and Board of Directors. My name is Raimundo Vidaure Jr. I'm the community engagement coordinator. Item 8 in your packet is an update on community engagement in FY25. Next slide, please. So as part of this presentation, we'll provide an overview of the community engagement in efforts in FY25, also info about FY25 efforts and lessons learned, as well as a campaign look ahead for FY26. I will note that there is an error on the agenda slide that you see here. Number 4 was left on the slides in error, as there are no recommendations for this item. Next slide, please. Marin Transit takes an expansive approach to public engagement and seeks to engage with and address the needs of a wide array of stakeholders across the county. As shown on the slide here, Marin Transit's goal for public engagement are the 4 E's, which are number 1, to educate and inform. Next would be to encourage broad participation, to ensure inclusivity and accessibility for all, and then to evaluate the effectiveness and impact of engagement activities. The concerns, the issues, ideas, and needs of community members gathered through the public participation process inform Marin Transit's projects and plans. Next slide, please. Engaging with riders, particularly our loyal riders and the transit dependent, is of utmost importance to the district. This allows us to ensure that our services are effectively meeting the needs and that we are actively listening to their feedback. We use a variety of strategies to communicate with and to hear from riders. All of the strategies that you see on the slide here are employed to varying degrees based on the nature of the campaign or effort. Since many community members do not attend or regularly participate in traditional public meetings and board hearings, we attempt to use tactics and methods to directly engage riders where they are or at locations that they already frequent. Next slide, please. Marin Transit is committed to engaging with and collecting input from a wide range of stakeholders and community members. We engage with the general public, including both existing and potential riders. Some examples of groups warranting special attention are shown on this slide. These groups may have specialized needs and provide specific input to our programs and services. We also engage with community-based organizations, our peer agencies, and local governments to identify shared interests and allow for service coordination. Growing our relationships with outreach and engagement staff at peer agencies like SMART, TAM, the North Bay Operators, and Golden Gate Transit has allowed us to reach a broader audience and collaborate on strategies and campaigns. Next slide, please. This slide shows a summary of our engagement efforts during the last fiscal year. Over the course of the year, staff were able to participate in over 500 engagement events. I'll give a quick description of each engagement type that you see on this slide. So first here, we have the Navigating Transit presentation, which is designed to inform participants of Marin Access and Marin Transit programs. The goal of these presentations are to educate community members on the public transit options that are offered by Marin Transit. Next would be community events, and these include events that are hosted by Marin Transit or by a community partner where staff are able to host a booth or an information table. We can share information, we collect feedback, and we can directly engage with community members. A great example of this is the Marin County Senior Fair that occurs annually. Next on the in the table here, you'll see satellite hours. Now, satellite hours are used as standing hours at specific locations throughout Marin County, and they are designed to allow us to maintain a consistent presence so the community members know where they can go if they need to ask any questions in person. It's an effective way to coordinate with community partners at existing events, and it allows staff to assist riders in the enrollment process for Marin Access or Marin Access Fair Assistance programs. Also, it allows staff to give referrals to other resources and programs that might be needed for participants. Next on the list here, you'll see the virtual drop-in info sessions, and these allow the community to join a pre-scheduled virtual presentation about programs and services offered through Marin Access and Marin Transit. These were used in the lead-up efforts for the program changes to Marin Access that occurred in July. It had also allowed staff to assist riders in real time and took a lot of the burden from the community, the customer service teams at the call centers. The next item here would be the focus group or rider interviews. And these are designed to help staff gather in-depth feedback from riders where they are. It's a broad invitation. Of course, they fill out a form and that we have a pool that we pick from there. And then also all participants are compensated. It's not just they're compensated for their time and their feedback. The next would be in-person outreach, and these involve efforts that where we try to meet riders at the transit stops as well as all of our transit hubs. Usually, these are tied to larger engagement campaigns, and because of the nature of these types of events, interactions are usually brief, but it's usually, you know, when a rider wants to give us specific feedback about something that they're experiencing, it allows us to really have that good one-on-one interaction with them, and it also allows us to give appreciation to our loyal riders that use our services. The last two items are the electronic communications, which consist of the e-newsletter and the social media portions, social media platforms. Next slide, please. Over the past year, staff have documented the best practices and lessons learned so that we can evaluate the effectiveness and the impact of our efforts. I'll share a little bit about our findings here as you see them on the screen. First off, offering varied and flexible options for riders allows us to reach more riders that may not want to attend a traditional public meeting or event. Secondly, using prompts and interactive activities during events or focus groups garners more robust discussion and feedback from participants. Thirdly here, partnerships are key to expanding our reach. We've started to develop and share outreach toolkits so that our community partners can share information on our behalf to their networks. It's been really helpful to get people to engage, especially on social media, and feedback through from our newsletters as well. Fourthly here, we found that social media can be a very useful tool to engage community members. Short campaign arcs for social media allow us to post multiple times over a short period about one item or event, with each post containing different information. So we can really promote an event from all angles and allow for different pieces of information to kind of whet the interest of the participants there. Fifth, as requests for our participations in different community events grows, to ensure that limited staff time and resources are best used, it's important that these events have a clear nexus to transit. And then finally here, satellite hours are a useful tool for getting information from people and the community members where they most frequent, but we found that this often leads to us engaging with the same people over and over. So we're currently in the process of updating our satellite hour schedule to better utilize our limited resources to ensure maximum engagement. Next slide, please. So to guide our work, we develop an annual campaign plan. This is a living document that we continually adjust to reflect new or emerging needs. This also allows us to determine the best way to coordinate the timing and activities for each campaign. So this slide shows the campaigns slated for the current fiscal year. To orient you to the slide a little bit, over on the left column, you'll see campaigns that are either slated or anticipated to happen in FY26. The middle column, which would be the campaign category, this allows us to track our events and really simplifies us being able to understand, what was reached and how the event occurred. It allows us to categorize it for simplicity of tracking. And then finally, on the right is the time frame of the event. This is the time frame expected for each campaign. As an example here, on the second row, if you see Marin Access General Outreach, would fall under the Rider Engagement and Education campaign. So these types of campaigns are ongoing because we do presentations, we do travel trainings, we do satellite hours all throughout the year. Another good example would be, let's see, the Next Gen Clipper, which is more like a focused event that is happening at a specific time, not ongoing, and it would fall under a promotional type of campaign category. We track all of our efforts under each category, and that is what makes up the summary that your board sees on a quarterly basis. So, next slide, please, Kate. That concludes my presentation, and I am happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Raimundo. We'll look to my colleagues here. Any questions on this? Director Sackett.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the deep dive, and really from seeing Marin Transit at public events, I can see the deep engagement. Your comment that really checking to see if an event has a nexus to transit, I think is an interesting, I understand limited staffing and folks can't be there. And I'm just thinking of a couple examples of where, like, I've attended an HOA meeting, which doesn't have a direct nexus to transit. I have sort of, you know, Marin Transit flyers or cards or something, but I just, I'm thinking through, is there an opportunity if I said, for example, there's an HOA meeting in Contempo Marin, I wonder if there's an opportunity through public engagement to say, here's a quick snapshot of what public transit is available to that HOA to give us a more tangible public information so that we can share that with our communities. And it may not be a nexus to transit, but I think there are opportunities of here's a new pathway there, or here's how our services changed. I just recognize that every time I go to HOAs, folks aren't thinking about transit, and there may really be an opportunity to catch a ride and those kind of things.
Yeah, I'll take a stab at that, and Raimundo, you can chime in here. But yeah, we want a transit nexus, but of course there are opportunities like that that we would like to be invited to, and certainly if we have resources and people available, we could attend with you or for you or invited by you. Be happy to do that. And then I think what you're saying is maybe having some sort of maybe printed material that could be available that is focused on that area regarding transit. And we have done that in the past. And so I think we could definitely can come up with some things that would be like a fact sheet or something that would be introductory to the users in that area, specific to users in that area. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any others? We'll do a quick public comment, see if there's any, and then we'll wrap things up with board comments. Any public comment on public engagement? All right. Kate, any others?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. Director Moulton Peters?
I just wanted to compliment you on the presentation. You really gave us a deep dive, and the dimensions of the different outreach methods you explained very well. And it just tells me that we are really developing a deeper ability to reach our riders in different ways. And I appreciate the work that's taken to get here.
Thank you, ma'am.
All right. Director Urenz-Galati.
Yes, I also wanted to compliment in all the work, especially social media and how you have like bilingual messages, and also for ADA. I think is fabulous. So my only comment will be try to avoid the months of July and August when you do engagement, unless it's like the county fair or like, you know, something that is directly applied for like free youth rights and things like that. But overall is excellent. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Director Colbert.
Yeah, thanks for the report. I just wanted to copy on the format. Like I appreciate a report that's crisp, gets to the point, and the board and the public will actually understand what's going on. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Director Bushy. Oh, no, sorry, I thought. All right. I'll just add, you know, public engagement, community engagement's always hard to measure. What are those metrics? I think one we shouldn't take for granted is just overall ridership, and we've continued to see ridership increase. And I think that's a great great positive and a great metric to look at in terms of the community engagement we're doing and letting people know about the service that we offer. So great job all around.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll move on to the last business item for today, which that was just a discussion item. So item number 9, fixed route maintenance facility update.
Yes, thank you, President Lucan, and I'll be presenting this item. Item 9 in your packet is an update on our proposed zero-emission bus O&M facility, as we call it, operations and maintenance facility, and it's an update that follows on our July meeting where we provided an update as well. Next slide. Okay. And we, in terms of today's presentation, we're going to focus a little bit on the community outreach that we've been doing recently, some of the additional uses that we've been asked to consider, the project benefits more broadly beyond just those additional uses that have been recommended to us, and then a quick update on our timeline. Next slide. So at your last board meeting, we presented the programming needs for the facility project and a concept layout plan. And we looked at the operational feasibility and some of the for purposes of our environmental review as well. And the layout reflects the programming for the majority of our needs. It does include 5 bus maintenance bays and a bus wash, basically affiliated with the building that's there in the black outline on the layout plan you see. There are about 49 full-size buses with electric charging capability planned under this concept and about 57 employee parking spaces. It does allow for adequate circulation of the buses with driveways on Francisco and Castro. As we noted in our facility update in July, the dispatch function and training and conference rooms are planned to be located up at our facility at Rush Landing in Novato, and that's due to the space constraints at this site. This is very much an iterative process. Again, we're just in the concept phase, and so there will be refinements and changes as we go through the final design process. Next slide. So since our last meeting, we have had some renderings prepared for a look at the building from 2 views. The first here is the front of the building. And this is in part because it's much easier for people to understand what our building will look like instead of being in a plan layout to look at it from the renderings. These again are very much conceptual, then first stab, if you will, at that. So this is a view again from the front of the building. This is basically from Francisco. Next slide. And this is from behind the building where you can see kind of right in the center there, the bus bays are numbered there. And there's a bus that is not our logo, by the way, just saying. So, okay. somebody else's bus is parked there today. Next slide, please. So we have been engaging the community. You've heard a lot about that earlier, and we've been doing it in a variety of ways. We kind of overview here, we did present to your board in March a framework and scoping plan for our overall work for this facility project. We have a consulting team on board now. They are preparing with our staff a detailed project outreach plan, which is really the dates and places and times that we'll be holding events. As you heard earlier, our events may be conducted on multiple topics, which we've done, for example, in July. We were talking about mascots as well as the facility at those events. Some are specific to Marin Transit. You know, some are hosted by us and others are hosted by other agencies. Again, part of what we're trying to do there with multiple topics and partnering up with other entities is to make sure that we don't have engagement fatigue and have people tired of trying to make them come to meetings. So we've also have our webpage updated regularly now. We've sent out postcards to neighbors in the area. And of course, all of the outreach will continue throughout final design. Let's move on. As a part of the board's authorization to purchase the facility back last year, we agreed to evaluate potential facility uses in addition to the functional requirements of our zero emission bus facility at this site. And the purpose of the additional components was to provide additional community benefits. About 15 different proposed potential uses have been suggested, including, for example, housing and retail, sidewalk and lighting improvements, EV charging or EV car share, on-site childcare, transit workforce training, and a community gathering space are some of the things that we've heard. And we've begun evaluating the potential for additional uses by asking for feedback as a part of our public engagement, and then also in light of our federal requirements. Next slide. So this first diagram, I think you've heard some of the results before. This is from the Nuestro Canal, Nuestro Futuro event that was held in May. And we had a booth there where we were able to introduce the project with some of the facts about the project, and then engage the attendees in a dot voting activity. And those were some of the suggested community enhancements there listed. And you can see that clean well lit bus stops and sidewalk and lighting improvements are some of the more important things that we heard from that event. And in this event, we did the attendees had the opportunity to rank vote. So they did, they picked their top three choices, 1 through 3, and these are weighted. And next slide, please. And then we also did a dot voting activity more recently in July at that community event. And this time the attendees were asked to select their top three choices, not ranked. And then they also were given the opportunity to identify something that they didn't care for. And so this table summarizes that. And again, kind of the clean, well-lighted bus stops and the sidewalk and lighting improvements were some of the top categories. We do ask about frequent and reliable bus service because that is the purpose of having a maintenance facility, is to ensure that we can continue to provide that. So, and it does, of course, rank very high. We also have this survey on our project website, and attendees at the upcoming virtual workshop will be given the opportunity to vote and provide feedback on these items as well. So, okay. Next slide, please, Kate. So consideration for the proposed uses include space availability, the potential for off-site development, the appropriateness or feasibility even of the use within on operating bus operations and maintenance facility, economic feasibility, and then finally allowability within the funding parameters. And because FTA is essential to our project and their funding is essential, their requirements are key to determining what non-transit uses can be incorporated into the project and under what conditions. So on this slide, we show that, you know, we do have the grant. The main categories for expenditure are buying the property and constructing the facility, of course. And we do have separately a workforce and childcare development element. And generally, what FTA requires is that any non-transit use that says that non-transit uses are not allowed except under certain conditions. And two of the conditions that I thought might apply to the potential uses that have been suggested are incidental use, which is allowed when there's no interference with the safety and public transit operations, and then shared use, which takes place when an entity separate from the grantee or the agency occupies a part of the facility and pays its pro rata share of the construction, maintenance, and operation. And generally, that has to be approved with the grant. So may not really be eligible for us right now, but incidental use is something that does seem to be more applicable to certain of the recommended or suggested non-transit uses for the facility. Next slide. So here we've taken a first cut at looking at how these various criteria, the siting feasibility and the FTA allowability, would apply to a number of the potential uses that are recommended. We've done this assessment as kind of a preliminary look. It will depend greatly on what those potential uses really look like, space requirements and other needs. And this summary shows that generally uses that do not require significant space can meet FTA's definition of incidental use and are more likely to be eligible for on-site consideration. Some uses have been identified as potential curbside uses, like the EV charging, and some uses might be allowable under FTA's shared use definition, but they would require a funding partner and or more space than is available on site. So again, and I'm not planning to go through this, but happy to answer any questions about the details of how we, you know, how we looked at the different uses here and their allowability or feasibility on site. So next slide, Kate. And then this slide just shows the potential uses categorized by whether they might be accommodated on site or are better suited to being located off site. Community feedback is going to help us determine priorities for pursuing these initiatives, and additional funding and other grants may be needed to address these uses. And all these potential uses will have to be further evaluated and considered as the project development continues and we get additional community input. I think, next slide, please, Kate. Our grant application, I did want to speak to the workforce and training element, workforce training, excuse me, and childcare element of our grant. We have about $2.2 million available. And it in our grant application, and remember this grant application was written back in January of 2023, we identified four elements as a part of our workforce development plan, which are linked to community benefits. The goal of the plan is to develop the skills necessary to support a fully electric bus fleet. The plan will provide resources to invest in current operations and our current operators, the maintenance workers and managers, and then train additional personnel from the larger Marin community and Bay Area workforce. And because childcare is cited as a major obstacle to good paying jobs, and transit workers in all positions may view childcare as a significant benefit when they consider employment options, we included that. We identified the potential for an on-site childcare facility if feasible. However, we were, as you know, our site is very constrained, and through experts in childcare that we've spoken with throughout the county, we've determined that it is not feasible or necessarily desirable on site. And we are looking at other sorts of options. One of the other things included in the grant, of course, was subsidized childcare for our transit workers. And we're continuing to look at that. All of this would be done and is being done with partners, of course, that we are not the experts in this area. And the progress on these programs, both the workforce development and childcare, can be pursued independent of the facility development itself. It's not dependent on the site. We have been meeting with partners on the workforce side, and you heard earlier from my general manager's report that we've been successful on the COYA grant with Canal Alliance, so we're just kicking that work off, working with a lot of other entities as well on other ways that we can build our workforce. And then childcare, we've been meeting regarding, as I mentioned, the on-site, but also getting input on alternatives to that, like training and licensing of in-home care providers in the area. And then also we've been getting feedback on childcare subsidies for transit workers. Okay, so next slide, Kate. The project is going to provide direct benefits, of course, and the purpose in getting a facility was to provide a permanent centralized facility, allowing us to continue to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, to provide mobility options and stabilize our costs, as was outlined in our grant application, and has been our goal for a long time. And in addition, construction of the transit facility and ongoing operation of our service, of course, provides other economic benefits in the form of good paying jobs and generating local sales tax revenue. Next slide. So I'm going to speak briefly to each of those. In terms of job creation, we use the APTA economic benefits tool to identify that 134 construction jobs would be generated by a $24 million investment in the capital facility. And that would then create 20 indirect jobs that would be supporting those direct construction jobs. And then 33 induced jobs. And the induced jobs are jobs that are created by additional personal spending, like restaurant eating in a restaurant, from both the direct and indirect workers. And then our operations contracts, we have about 100 contract employees for a $10.6 million contract. That then creates another 110 indirect jobs and 21 in indirect jobs. Next slide. And so the jobs we are creating are good paying jobs. because California requires all public works to pay prevailing wages for construction. We pay the wages shown here. These are just taken from the Department of Industrial Relations website for 2025 for some of the categories of trades that we know would work on a construction job like our facility. And you can see they range in pay from $38.45 an hour to $65.27 an hour. So good paying jobs for construction. Just to note that private entities are not required to use prevailing wages. And so often they are lower. They don't need to be lower, but they often are. And then the wage rates for our operations. And this information on the right-hand side of the slide shows what our pay rates are for the contract that we have with Airporter right now. So starting wage for bus driver is $30.75 an hour. And then we do have, you know, higher rates are for other positions, but including mechanics that are $47.10 an hour. And these are roughly similar to what Golden Gate's rates are. They're slightly higher, just a little bit higher for their bus driver positions, which are around starting at $31.29 an hour. So again, good paying jobs are created by our services. And then lastly, wanted to comment on the other benefit is that on sales tax revenue, we do pay sales tax on things that we buy in within Marin County. And the biggest of those, of course, the largest taxable purchase that we make is for buses, when we replace buses. And those taxes are paid for the rate of sales taxes at the point of delivery. And we typically deliver to Novato or San Rafael. And this chart is showing that we will be, the sales taxes we'll be paying over time. It actually starts in 2027 there on the far left. The green bar is what is delivered to Novato, and that's to our Rush Landing site. And the blue bar, I guess it's more purpley bar, and they're kind of small here, sorry, is to San Rafael and to the new facility. So in 2030, assuming that we have our facility in place in San Rafael, we will be generating about $1.58 million over the first 10 years of that facility to San Rafael. And that's for directly to San Rafael. That's the 1% that's done at the statewide level, plus they have two locally approved sales taxes that they will then get another percent from. So similarly, actually, Novato is in the same situation with their local tax. They get the standard 1% that is subvented from the state, and then the additional 1%, two different sales taxes in Novato. And that would be another $590,000. I think just important to note that it is possible that we would have all the buses delivered to San Rafael. Often for purposes of acceptance, that's the delivery point we would make. So that could shift between the two sites. There are other sales taxes that we pay, of course, and that would include the Measure AA sales tax that at 0.5%, and that is shown in the small blue bar there, the kind of bright blue bar. Over the 10-year period, we would generate about $150,000 in Measure AA. And we also pay other sales taxes for the county, like the parks tax I think it's 0.25 cent and that sort of thing. So again, about a depending on where we are in the county, but in these two jurisdictions, it's a 9.25% sales tax. And this is just what's generated to the local jurisdictions here. So that's another, we believe that's another community benefit, also helps our transportation systems. All right, Kate, next slide. It's our last one. So I did want to just update our FY25-26 milestones. We had reported to you we would be releasing the CEQA document for public review. That's a 30-day review period. That we are still working on some of the documents for that. That is now, we're talking about doing that this fall. And then we would have our FTA will be doing the review of our NEPA, and we expect to have that done at roughly the same time that our CEQA review is complete. We would bring that back to your board then for the recommendation on the proposed project under the CEQA and NEPA clearance. And then in the winter, we would be releasing a design procurement. So the next phase of our work would begin this winter if CEQA and NEPA are approved. And then, as has was mentioned earlier, we will be doing public engagement throughout the process. And last slide, Kate. That concludes my presentation. Thank you. Any questions?
Nancy, thank you for the update. Any questions on this? Director Bushy.
Thank you for the report. I have two questions. My first is very specific, and that's on the community benefits. We had previously discussed the unique features that this facility would offer for disaster preparation, because it has a generator, a fuel tank, and electric charging on the site. I noticed from your list that disaster preparation is missing. Should I be concluding that you have rejected that as an option?
No, in fact, I think it's included in the community resilience. It's listed as one of the 15 things. It just isn't it wasn't on the slides.
Okay.
Yes, I think we will continue to look at it. Just to acknowledge that the main indoor space is going to be with the bus maintenance bays. So we'll have to think about how that could be used in terms of resilience and what it would mean if there was a public gathering space there. So it's one of the considerations that we'll be looking at for sure.
Great, thank you. I want to make sure that was still on the to-do list. Next, going back to the beginning of your presentation, you had a rendering that I've seen just for the first time. I'm wondering, and this is sort of a conceptual question, is the level of design reflected in that rendering, the level of design excellence you anticipate for the facility?
I'm going to say yes, and maybe better, but yes, yeah. And this is a starting point. The architects have provided us with the opportunity to provide feedback on this, and I think this is something now that we've just gotten these that we will be taking to the community as well to get some feedback on, and more. I mean, we would be looking for other things. One of the things that we've talked about and is on the list, of course, incorporation of art in various ways, and so we'll be looking at that as we also look at the actual the design of the building.
I was actually hoping you would say, where you were going to say no, that you were expecting a higher level of design. So are we open to
additional
design?
Yeah, and I said and more. Yes.
And more.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
So, yes. I think of course we are. And we would love to see, you know, absolute best design possible within our budget. Yeah, that's
the budget. This one is, I would describe, as somewhat industrial for an entryway into our community. So I would encourage something more welcoming and suitable for an entry.
Good, great, thank you.
Any others? Director Urenz-Galati? Make sure your mic's on. There we go.
Sorry, I can't see.
There we are.
So I have a question and then I have some comments for later. So my question is around construction. And I'm really excited about the workforce development that's going to happen, really encouraging our community, you know, to be more active economically. But is it possible for construction to utilize more like local resources, given that they will provide like a competitive rate? And are we encouraging that, or are we approaching local businesses to do that? Thank you.
We haven't quite gotten to that point yet, but certainly that is something that we will want to consider. And, you know, apprenticeship programs that come with construction contracts as well. So yes, I think the short answer is yes, we will be encouraging that.
Great, because yeah, working with the companies and also with the workers, I think it will make a big impact. So it will be great. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, why don't we go to public comment and see if there's any. Please come on up.
I'm Miki Hidaka. I'm a resident of the Mill Valley and a frequent rider of Marin Transit, Golden Gate, and Smart. And to General Manager Whelan's list, in particular, the clean and well-lit bus stops. I very much appreciate that. Sometimes when it's dark in the morning during the winter, and particularly when it's foggy and rainy, those buses just go right by me because they can't see me. And also, I know that there are many, many bus stops. This is probably not possible, but if there's sheltering available, that'd be much appreciated as well. Also, I want to say I'm with Virgin Car and Associates, which is a disadvantaged business enterprise, transportation consulting firm. And at the Marin Transit Open House recently, where I met Anna and Paul Haefeli, and they presented on the bus yard. I was very, very impressed with all the efforts and very much looking forward to contributing to that and hope everything goes well with the environmental impact report review. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't see any other public comment here. Any online?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
We'll come back for some closing comments if there are. Director Yuren Scolati.
Yes, thank you so much. Thank you for the presentation. I think as community benefits, being able to have these, you know, building to store and maintain electric buses to reduce our greenhouse emissions is amazing. It's also the opportunity to have a green building that is self-sustainable. Looking again as a backup, something that is different from diesel would be great, whether it's like electric batteries or a different alternative. Also, maybe the possibility, this is there as board member Bushi was mentioning, this is the entry of our canal from 580, and it will have a lot of impact. So a green roof, public art, something Canal Alliance with the new building has a beautiful public art that you can see from the freeway. So I think there are like a lot of possibilities, and I really appreciate you looking and being open to that. So thank you so much. And I look forward to the designs and also for the community engagement, as you are going to have a Zoom meeting again with the community. Just I'm assuming that you're partnering with Canal Alliance and other providers just to make sure that we have a lot of participation so they can all feel included on this. So thank you so much.
And Director Moulton-Peters.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank you for the presentation and for laying out so clearly the community benefits and the assessment that you did of them and which you were able to either under FTA provide or with the site constraints, which are many. I mean, I think that drawing speaks volumes as to the available space and compatible uses. So I appreciate the creative thinking. I want to second Commissioner Galati's comments about desirable elements in the plan. And again, just thank you for summarizing what seems like a lot of varying interests and information.
Any others? All right, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. Thank you for the update and more to come.
If I can just add one, I neglected to say that after we put the packet together, the Zoom meeting that we have established is September 24th. So at 5:00, I think we're going to have a Zoom meeting for on the project for any participants who would like to attend. So we'll be getting that information out.
Great. Well, that concludes our regular business for today. We do have a closed session item. We're going to be, right as we adjourn, convening a closed session for a public employee performance evaluation. Is there any public comment on that? Don't see any here in the room.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. The board is now going to adjourn into closed session. Thank you, everyone.
Can I get the spelling of both of your names for the name? You, okay. Go by Jack.
Robinson.
Okay, is that correct?
Yep.
Oh, wonderful, thank you. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
can I get your spelling?
Yeah.
M-I-A-I-H-I.
Oh,
the last name is H. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's the end of my first name.
Uh-huh.
Sorry. D A A.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
President Lucan, I am ready to receive your report out.
Thank you. The Marin County Transit District Board of Directors met in closed session for the item listed on the agenda, and there is nothing to report out. This meeting is adjourned.